April 45. And we were in a column, and we had to reach our objective for the night. Young was the tank commander. Johnson was the driver. Sessions was the assistant driver. I was the loader, and Toland was the gunner. Now, we had reached our objective for the day, and it was like on a bridge. And these two German civilians came up on bicycles and told us there was American prisoners in the next town. Uh-huh. The word was they called up that we wanted to proceed and go into this town. They said American wounded, American sick, you know. So we proceeded into the town, and actually, where do you think you'd go to see wounded? Or we went to the hospital. There was only German wounded in there. No American prisoners were in the hospital. Oh no, they were across the street. They had these guys laying on the floor of the schoolhouse. You know, straw on the floor. Mm-hmm. These were the guys from 106th Division. They were captured during the Bulge. Every one of them was a stretcher case. I mean, the guy told us that they only had for 3 months was potatoes, that they would put the wire to and hold it over an open flame, and weak tea. That's what they had for 3 months. And like, they used to torture one another, like, make up a menu for us. Every time they made up a menu for one another, we always had sugar, something sweet. And one guy pulled up his pants to show me his long johns. I thought they were OD. They were brown from the dysentery. And I remember this one guy came from Connecticut. He had a roller skating, his family owned a roller skating rink, and one of the MPs came from that day. He says, and he, you know, this guy kept saying, God bless you, men, God bless you, men. And when I walked, my heart was in my throat because you can't believe what you're going to see. These guys are like skeletons. And this one kid, I forget his name, I think his name was Silver. His last name was Silver. His family came from Vermont, and I wrote to his family to let them know he was alive. Uh-huh. He was in prison, and he was liberated. I never heard from them. Oh, one guy was buried the night before we got there, and they told us it was the first time any one of them ever got buried. These guys were being watched away from us. And if a guy died, they just picked him up and threw on the side of the road. That night before we got there was the first time any one of them ever got buried. So I went out to my tank, and I got a box of those tropical Hershey bars we had. That was only about a couple inches long, about this big. They're called tropical Hersheys because they wouldn't melt in any. Uh-huh. I was giving those Hershey bars out to these guys, and Dr. Reif comes in, he starts chewing me out. He said, what the hell are you trying to do, kill them? He says, they'll get sick. And they promised him they wouldn't eat them fast, they would eat them slow. And the GIs that were with us, they shot two SS guards that were left behind to guard them. But the GIs told us, tell them not to shoot the medic, the German medic. He's a good guy, he's decent to them. Mm-hmm. So the next day, we're traveling, I was still moving. And two GIs came out of, I'm up in the turret of the tank. They always had to leave one man in the on the tank to man the radio. And I'm in the turret, but being because I was in the turret, I had to stay, right? So these two guys came out of the barn. And they were part of a group of 150 that were still being marched away from us. So these guys figured, this is it. And they hid in the barn. So, I'll never forget their faces. One guy was a short guy with red hair. And as he's looking at me up in the turret, I could see the tears was just coming down his face. He was just like a state of shock, you know, like I'm liberated, you know. And the other guy was tall, black hair, had a mustache, and he wore glasses. And I reached down, I said, you guys want a butt? Because I used to smoke at that time, and they couldn't reach me, so I jumped off the out of the turret. And as I reached a cigarette, I went to light the cigarette. The little red-headed guy, he went like to cup the cigarette, the light, and thus he had a big, festered cut on his hand. I said, what happened to your hand? So the crowds cut me with a bayonet, and they refused to dress the wound. I called, medic, medic, and again, Dr. Reif comes down. Remember they mentioned him in the newsletter that he just got remarried. So. And I call him back, and Captain Reif comes down and says, what's the matter? I told him. So then, with that, Captain Reif is the kid, the redheaded kid. He says, what happened to your hand? And he told him. He says, son of a bitch. And he starts putting the sulfanilamide on his hand and bandaging it. And Dr. Reif says, okay, son, we're taking you back now. And with that, he can't move. He's like he's stunned. And he couldn't move. So Streeter, Dale Streeter, who was Gibson's driver, He was a pretty big guy. He threw a blanket around him and picked him up and put him in the Jeep. A German officer, was home on furlough. And he came bicycling into town to make a visit. He was captured.